Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Catherine Morehouse. You might think that one of the quickest ways to divide Republicans and Democrats is to ask them about electric vehicles. On one hand, you have President Joe Biden, who sees EVs as a key part of America's clean energy future. And on the other hand, there's Donald Trump, who's on the campaign trail bashing them every chance he gets. And Senate Republicans are also targeting Biden's EV legislation in Congress. But the issue actually isn't so red and blue. In fact, in California, Republican lawmakers are supporting and even writing bills to strengthen the state's EV market. It's a trend that prompts an interesting question. Do electric vehicles actually have bipartisan appeal? Today, I wanted to explore that question and the politics of EVs with Politico's Alex Nieves, who's been tracking this issue. It's Thursday, May 16th.
I think what really got me interested in pursuing this story is the fact that the rhetoric around electric vehicle technology nationally has become so polarized in recent years. And a lot of that has been driven by former President Donald Trump being back on the campaign trail. He's really framed EVs as being job killers that will force American automakers to cede their market dominance to Chinese companies. And he's used quite violent language to do so, predicting an economic bloodbath and an assassination of jobs. Really, he's made EVs one of his main targets, along with things like offshore wind. And so with that context in mind, observers who don't follow California might find it surprising that state Republican lawmakers actually speak very highly of EVs and are supportive of efforts to expand government incentives to low-income buyers, to improve the state's charging network. The reality is that California is a relatively mature EV market where drivers have adopted the technology at much higher rates than the rest of the country. According to data from the Environmental Defense Fund and data firm L2, around 21% of electric vehicles in California are connected to Republican voters, and that equals about 400,000 vehicles.
That's a really interesting split. So can you talk a bit more about why specifically California Republicans are fans of EVs when, you know, Trump and some of the top leaders of their party aren't? Is there a clear reason for why that trend exists in California and not elsewhere?
Yeah, I think there really is a clear reason, and it's quite simple. State Republican lawmakers are watching their constituents, conservative voters, embrace electric vehicles from companies like Tesla, Hyundai, BMW, and they're realizing that this technology is something that the folks that put them in power actually really like. Lawmakers I've interviewed in the Assembly and the Senate have all said they have friends and family who are driving EVs, that they themselves drive them or won't rule out the possibility of owning one in the future. The reality is, California is much different than other parts of the country. In many states, especially across the Midwest and the South, EV adoption rates are much lower, and Republicans are a lot more skeptical. I think you see that reflected in the rhetoric. For instance, we see that Senate Republicans in DC are trying to pick apart Biden's EV agenda, introducing legislation to eliminate incentives for buyers and funding for companies that build charging infrastructure. Well, those are the exact sorts of policies California Republicans are backing.
That's really interesting. And I'm wondering if within California itself, Republicans and Democrats are largely in agreement about California's approach to EV expansion. Sounds like at least they would be aligned with some Democrats in D.C. on that issue.
Yeah, no, I'd say at a high level, what both parties agree on is that EVs are the transportation future, and there are clear benefits for drivers, at least for passenger vehicles. There are certainly some splits when it comes to commercial vehicles. But the main mechanism that Governor Gavin Newsom's administration is using, which is a mandate to phase out gas car sales by 2035, that's causing plenty of heartburn among Republican lawmakers. Conservatives have framed that mandate as an anti-free market government overreach that doesn't account for technological limitations and inadequate charging infrastructure that's currently frustrating drivers of both parties, honestly. I found it interesting that the state Senate's Republican leader, Brian Jones, made it clear to me that his caucus is still going to contribute to the EV conversation, despite the disagreement over the mandate. And I think that's a reflection of the fact that Republicans are a super minority in Sacramento and can have the most impact when they work collaboratively with Democrats.
So given that California is kind of a first mover on EVs, and you're seeing in that state California Republicans getting on board with EVs as they, you know, take up a larger and larger share for the market, it seems like that could be a significant win for car companies and policymakers in the long run as other parts of the country start to adopt EVs more widely. It seems like maybe that bipartisan appeal does exist or will exist. Is that what you're hearing?
So yeah, talking to market analysts and pollsters, we see that it's certainly a possibility and something that they're considering, that as EV market adoption expands, we will see more Republican voters looking favorably at the technology. Now, I do want to preface that we're not going to flip a switch and see that overnight. Voters in North Dakota, South Dakota, Alabama, I don't think will be flocking to EVs right now. And it's true that President Donald Trump still holds a ton of weight in the party, and his rhetoric is really resonating. Something around 70% of voters, 60% of voters, depending on which poll you look at, who identify as Republicans, say they won't consider driving an EV within the next 10 years. What I think is important, what I mentioned earlier, is that as voters see friends and family driving these vehicles, they become less scared of them and are much more willing to consider them. So I have polling from Mike Murphy, a former consultant for California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, for Arizona Senator John McCain, that shows it's around a 50-50 split for Republicans who have a friend, have family who drive an EV, whether they are willing to adopt them. A much, much higher rate than when you ask them about climate change or whether these vehicles are good technology for going green. What I think the polling tells us, and what the message these market analysts say they're communicating to automakers is that you really should be focusing on the actual technology, what makes an EV better in a lot of ways. The fact that you don't have to pay for gas, the fact that you have better acceleration, and that maintenance over the lifetime of the vehicle is much lower. That is the sort of messaging that voters want to see across the board.
Also, Donald Trump will travel to Houston, Texas next week for a luncheon with around 24 energy industry executives to talk about fundraising for his campaign. The luncheon is planned for May 22nd, according to three industry executives who told Politico after seeing invitations. The meeting comes a month after Trump suggested at a Mar-a-Lago dinner that the energy industry should contribute $1 billion to his re-election effort, and as the oil and gas executives begin to line up behind the former president's campaign. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch, and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Catherine Morehouse, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.